In the 1850s, a well-educated woman from a wealthy British family felt a divine calling to serve others through nursing, an occupation then considered lowly and improper for women of her status. Despite opposition, she trained as a nurse and went to the front lines of the Crimean War in 1854. When she arrived at the British military hospital, she found deplorable conditions, filth, overcrowding, and a lack of basic medical care. Moved by compassion, she worked tirelessly to care for the wounded soldiers. She cleaned the facilities, organized supplies, and introduced hygiene standards that dramatically reduced death rates. Known as the Lady with the Lamp, she walked the wards at night, comforting the sick and dying. Her selfless service became a national symbol of mercy and devotion. Her name was Florence Nightingale, and she is considered by some to be the founder of modern nursing. You see, an act of selflessness would change not only the lives of those whom Florence Nightingale served, it would actually change the entire nursing profession for generations to come. Serving others can change lives, and it can change history. Yet, a genuine commitment to serving others is rare in our society. The country singer Toby Keith, not a theologian, by the way, but he had a song that went like this. I want to talk about me. Want to talk about I. Want to talk about number one. Oh, my, me, my. I can't help. I want to sing it, but I'm not going to. Toby Keith said, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, 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 usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. You see, much more prevalent in our world than serving others are those like Toby Keith sang about who are serving themselves. In fact, one of the very first words that we learn as a young child is mine. And you know, what's ironic is if you think back as a parent, you probably can't recall teaching that to your child. They just pick that up on their own. Mine, mine. Today, we're going to conclude the Stop That, Start This series with a sermon called Stop Serving Yourself. Before we go any further, let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to speak to us through His Word. God, we are grateful for Your Word. We pray that You teach us this morning how we can be more like Jesus by not serving ourselves. Thank You for our church family. Thank You for all of our guests here today. We're so honored that they're here. Thank You that we can remember those who've given their lives as we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. Thank You for all of Your goodness and grace. And I pray that the power of the gospel will shine through by the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, which is the day that we set aside in the United States to remember those who have given their lives serving our country in the armed forces, and who have made it possible for other countries to have freedom. You see, Memorial Day is literally a day devoted to those who died because they were serving others rather than serving themselves. Jesus said this about that type of sacrifice in John chapter 15, verse 13. He said, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. So as the Lord would have it, I actually did not intentionally coordinate this sermon to go with Memorial Day weekend, but I think the Lord did. You know, we remember those who made sacrifices. Well, today we're talking about not serving yourself. Indeed, serving others is admirable as we even celebrate it. Yet even though we recognize that it's admirable, even though we celebrate it in others, we don't always practice it in our own lives. Serving ourselves is actually not good for us, and it's not good for those around us. And we're going to discover just 2 points on this holiday weekend in the sermon, okay? Just 2 points. Number one, we're going to discover 2 reasons why serving yourself is not good. Number one, serving yourself is selfish. Now, you might think that's the most obvious thing I've heard today. Yeah, but we need to point it out, right? It goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. It's selfish to do things for yourself. Now, I want to be clear. It's not always selfish to serve yourself. After all, we have those of us who, I'm old enough to remember this, that you have the gas stations that are marked self, right? You have to pump your own gas. It's called self-service. I don't know that we have any full-service gas stations anymore in the United States, but how many of you can remember when you had the option, full-service or self-service? I'm old enough to remember that. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm plenty old to remember that. Yeah, okay. But it's not wrong to pump your own gas. You're serving yourself. That's okay. When you go to a buffet, like Fred's Market, first of all, you thank the Lord for the glorious food that's in front of you. And then you serve yourself, right? You go to the buffet, you get the food, you serve yourself. So it's not always bad to serve yourself. It's good to serve yourself when you get your own cup of coffee or you wash your own dishes or you take out your own trash. That's good to do that yourself. However, most of us know that's not what I'm talking about, right? You can catch on. That's not really what he's talking about. What I'm talking about is when we put attention on ourselves, or when we only want to do the things that we want to do, or worse yet, we expect that others only do the things that we want to do. That's serving ourselves. You see, just like last week, my boys and I were going to the park, and it was, summer's like already halfway through, it feels like. It's like 100 degrees outside. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And my boys and I were going to the park, and it was over 90 degrees outside, and I wanted to get a drink of water. I was thirsty. And so I'm looking all around, and I realized apparently Bartow Outdoor Parks don't have water fountains anymore. And I actually thought this through. I'm not going to bring a bottle of water. I'll drink out of the water fountain. Well, there's just a piece of plywood there. There's no water fountains. And all of a sudden, I became very self-centered. I wanted a drink of water. The misery I was going through in that moment, it was all about me. Now, I'll let you know I did survive. I made it through my half-mile walk, went back to the house, and got a drink of water. You see, but we want things for ourselves, don't we? You might think, I want that kind of food. I want that type of house. I want to sing this type of music in church. I want the air conditioner set at that specific temperature. I want to sit in that seat in the worship center. I want the government to give me more money. I want these taxes taken away. I want this road fixed. I want to go to that grocery store checkout lane. I want to get out of church at that time. I want my spouse to treat me this certain way. I want my children to listen. I want my church members to listen. I want the last serving of ice cream. And I want it to be this specific temperature outside. The only correct answer to that is 65 degrees, by the way, outside. These are all these things we want, right? And the reality is, even as I said that, some of you said, well, that's too hot. Or somebody said, that's too cold, 65. No, no, no. We all have different preferences. But we want it our way. As my friend Tom Rainer says, it's all about the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, no one is to seek his own good, but the good of the other person. No one likes selfishness. It's not good. And serving yourself is selfish. Again, that's really obvious. And this next point, I'm already going to point two here. This next point may be obvious for you as well, but we need to say it. Serving yourself is sinful. Serving yourself is sinful. It's not merely selfish to serve yourself. It's downright sinful. You might say, well, how do you know that? Well, y'all know I love it when you ask that, right? Even though you're not really asking that. I say you're asking that, but I always have an answer. I'm setting myself up here. Here we go. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 says this. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before. Listen, church, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? I just want to give you a little backstage pass on how pastors prepare. We sometimes, when we write things down, we think, is that a little too strong for me to say that way? But I never do that with the Bible. This is what the Bible says. I didn't say this part. This is stronger than what Pastor Matt would say. The Bible said, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, that's strong. And I think the reason those who practice those things listed will not inherit the kingdom of God is because that behavior indicates a sinful heart, not a heart that has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I often say, if there's no change, that means there's been no change. Right? And if your heart's not changed, if your heart doesn't belong to Jesus, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should not look to his own interest, but rather to the interest of others. All right, let's look at that again, okay? Make sure you catch this. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Because you might say, well, what about this? Is it okay for me to be selfish about this? Well, let's ask Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, about that. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Listen to how strongly James speaks about this in James chapter 3, verse 16. He says, for where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. Every evil practice. You know, there's some theologians throughout church history, some very, probably two of the most famous are Augustine and Thomas Aquinas. Augustine and Aquinas, great names for two cats, by the way. If you have two pet cats and you're looking for names, Augustine and Aquinas are names I submit for that, okay? But Augustine came first and then Thomas Aquinas later. And both of these theologians worked out this idea that the root of every kind of sin started with pride. Started with pride. And you see, pride is thinking too highly of ourselves or wanting more attention on ourselves or wanting to meet our own desires. You might say pride, in a way, is serving ourselves. And I think Augustine and Aquinas might have borrowed this idea from James. Because James said, as we just read, that serving ourselves can lead to disorder and every evil practice. Augustine Aquinas said, pride is the root of all sin. James said, serving ourselves can lead to every evil practice. James said elsewhere in James chapter 4, verse 6, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We talked about this verse on Wednesday nights in our study on 1 Peter, which we've concluded now. And you see, God resists those who think too much of themselves. Why? Because it's sinful. It's sinful. And God resists sin. It's sinful and it's evil. And as I've said so often, needless to say, although I'm going to say it, we shouldn't want God to resist us. But he resists the proud. You see, serving yourself is not of God. It's of the devil. It's sinful. You know, we talked about this in our discussion on Wednesday night as well. We talked about the power that the devil tries to exercise in our world, in our culture, in our lives. And one of the things I said in response to this discussion was the greatest way that we can limit the power of the devil is to limit sin in our own lives. To sin less. If you want to attack the devil, if you want to be on offense against the powers of darkness, then attack the sin in your own life. Attack selfish ambition. Attack pride in your own heart. Attack serving yourself, and you'll be attacking the forces of evil. You see, it is not of God to serve ourselves. But what should we do instead of serving ourselves? Because, of course, the answer is simple, right? So, in our bottom line, by the way, you're like, man, he's going through this sermon quickly. Well, we have the Lord's Supper, but I think this is pretty simple. But I also think it's terribly important for us to talk about this. So what should we do rather than serving ourselves? Bottom line, stop serving yourself. Start serving others. Stop serving yourself. Start serving others. You see, when you serve others, this is very simple. When you serve others, you are more like Jesus. I don't always ask for feedback on Sunday morning. This is a pretty, should you want to be more like Jesus, yes or no? Okay, that was good. I like that. All right, I don't mind that type of feedback, right? You should want to be more like Jesus, and when you serve others, it's a very simple way for you to be more like Jesus. Serve others. The Bible is filled with instruction for us to serve others. I actually had to limit the number of scriptures I included in this sermon today because there's so many. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 attributes these words to the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm sure you've heard that before. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, some of us, you know, particularly when we're children, we hear that and we go, I don't know about that. I really like receiving stuff. And the reality is, I'm not sure we grow out of that. Sometimes we're just a little wiser to not say it out loud when we're older. Some of us aren't wiser to not do that, but some of us are. And we say, I don't really know if that's true. I really like receiving stuff. I just had a birthday. I received some stuff. I really liked it. It was good. It's fun to receive stuff, but the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's the reason I think that's true. You were created by God to give of yourself to others. He made you for that purpose. That is who you were designed to be. And when you are being selfish, when I am being selfish, we are not who God intended us to be. We are not operating at full capacity because you were meant to operate by serving others, and God designed you in such a miraculous way that which doesn't make sense actually comes to fruition. You are more blessed when you give than when you receive. And some of you can give testimony to that. You say, yes, I do love to give to others. I do get blessed when I give to others and see the joy that they experience or the comfort or the blessing that they experience. That's what it means that we are more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. I love that. Now let's do a little reflection on what humility is. Remember, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. That's what humility is. And Peter says to put on, to clothe yourself with humility. Why would he say that? Because it's not something that just naturally comes to us, right? Now, you can develop humility more and more over time. It's easier to put on over time, but you have to make a conscious decision to say, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to choose humility. I'm going to clothe myself or put on humility in this situation. So you're thinking of others, you're serving others. We're to surround ourselves with that attitude of thinking about others and serving others. Do you remember what Jesus said to the apostles after he washed their feet? Some of you may not, but Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. He said, so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. You see, back then in Jesus' time, feet were gross. Now, some of you, you might think, feet are still pretty gross, Pastor Matt. Yeah, they are. They are, but back then, they were really gross. They were really gross. People didn't have the socks and shoes and pedicures and all that like we have today. And they were really gross. But listen. Jesus served his students, the ones that he was teaching, his followers, by removing their footwear and washing their feet. Now, some take this literally to mean that we should wash each other's feet. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, But I think Jesus means something bigger than that. What Jesus means is we should serve one another. He says, I am your master and your Lord, and I have done this. How much more should you do this for one another? So in other words, to paraphrase, Jesus is saying, the most important one is doing it. The followers should definitely do it. And he not only served his apostles, but he set an example for them to follow and for all Jesus' followers thereafter to follow as well. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 44 and 45, whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, sometimes I picture myself in these biblical situations, and I kind of picture myself here in this situation, because Jesus said, if you want to be significant, he said, if you want to be first, you'll become a slave to all. In other words, you'll serve everyone you encounter. And I gotta think, if I was in that situation, a fly on the wall or a bystander, I have to think that when Jesus said that statement, it surely raised some eyebrows, particularly among Jewish people who used to be enslaved in the land of Egypt. And they took pride in the fact that God had delivered them from that. And so I think that they would have raised some eyebrows when Jesus said that. So he followed that first statement by saying you must be a slave to all. He followed that statement by saying even the Son of Man, Jesus, even he, the Son of Man, came to serve, not only to serve, but to lay down his life. So in case we think, well, how far should I go? Jesus said, the Son of Man came to serve and to lay down his life. Paul added in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, serve one another through love. You know, if someone were to say, what are some one-word statements that describe who we want to be as a church, I would say love. It's one of the reasons we exist, right? We exist to develop disciples who love God, love the church, and love others. It's a very important word in our church, love. It's a very important word in the Bible. Paul said these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. John said God is love. Jesus said the most important thing you can do is to love. And here Paul says in Galatians, serve one another through love. So love should motivate us serving one another. You see, the most important thing, as Jesus said, is to love God and love others. What should that love lead us to do? Among other actions, it should lead us to serve other people. If we truly love others, we will serve others. So stop serving yourself and start serving others. And that's our weekly challenge. Make a pledge to serve others rather than serve yourself. Make a pledge to serve others rather than serve yourself. You see, our natural tendencies are to put ourselves first. That's part of what it means to be human, is to learn how to meet our needs. Now, I know you have all your blanks filled in, but hang with me for just a minute. I heard a preacher this week, he said, I always left an extra blank in my sermon notes so people would listen. I haven't done that yet, but I might start doing that. But that's all right. You look like you're listening now. That's good. But see, our natural tendency is to serve ourselves. You know, Paul said, or James said, Peter said, clothe yourself with humility. We don't have to clothe ourselves with selfishness, do we? We have to take that off. It's already on us. We have to take that off. I don't know if that's like exfoliating or something, but you have to take off selfishness, and then you clothe yourself with humility. Our natural tendency is to think of ourselves, but listen, we're not called as God's people to be natural beings merely. We are called to be supernatural. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We're not just natural. We are natural. You know, if you come up and poke me in the eye, it's going to hurt. We are natural. But we're not only natural. We are supernatural, filled with the Spirit of God. So when you think, I'm not sure I can do that, you can if you have the Holy Spirit of God. You can be filled with the Spirit. You can be one who serves others and who is more like Jesus and is more like the person God created and called you to be. Now listen, if you don't have Jesus, I want you to know you can absolutely 100% be changed. You might say, I don't know if I want to be changed like you're talking about. I like me. Okay, well that's fine. But listen, you're missing out on what God has for you. You don't even realize that it is more blessed to give than to receive. God has something so much greater than what you have for yourself. God has something so much greater for you than what this world has for you. And you cannot discover that apart from the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. You see, because God created you to be a certain way, and each and every one of us, all of us, rejected that way and did our own thing because we're focused on ourselves. We did our own thing. And that separated us from God. The Bible calls that sin. That sin separated us from God and from His love and from His blessings for us. And we could not be the children of God that He wants us to be because of our sin, because of doing things our way. And we're missing out. And sometimes we're so blinded by our own sin that we think we have it all made and everything's great. But we're missing out on what God has for us. And not only are we missing out in this life, you know, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, in this life, not only are we missing out on that, but we're missing out on eternity with God in heaven. We're missing out on a relationship with our Creator because of our sin. And not only that, the Bible says, not only are we missing out on what God has for us, we're actually receiving judgment and punishment for our sin after our time on this earth if we do not have the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we'll be punished for our sins in a very real place called hell. And you see, all that serving of ourselves we did on this earth leads to devastating consequences. But the Bible says that there's an escape from that. The Bible says there's hope for us when we're in that hopeless situation. You know, I read earlier from Philippians chapter 2. I think I read verses 2, 3, and 4. I want to pick it up. This is not on the screen. I want you to listen to me here. I want to pick it up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Listen to as I read this. And here's what I want you to do. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to think about how this applies to you. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, if Jesus has not saved you from your sins, I want you to consider the love we read about in this passage. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Paul says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful passage. If you are in Christ, remember verse 5, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, and remember the riches of His love. If you are not in Christ, consider that Jesus came and humbled Himself to the point of death so that you could be forgiven, not only of your selfishness, not only could I be forgiven of my selfishness, but for every evil deed we've committed against God and against anyone else, we can be forgiven. In just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a time for us to remember the work of Jesus Christ. And what an appropriate day for us to take the Lord's Supper as we think about serving others. Because the reason we celebrate the supper is because Jesus served us by laying down his life on the cross. If you're a follower of Jesus, remember that sacrifice, remember that love, remember those blessings. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you. We're going to sing a song of response as we respond to how God is working through this sermon and through his Holy Spirit in this place. But also, I want to encourage you to think about that Jesus gave his life so that you could be made right with God. Consider the love of Jesus. Consider if he really is the Son of God. Consider if he really died on the cross to pay for your sins. Consider if he really rose from the dead. And if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected and is the Son of God, and if you ask him to forgive you of your sins, he will make you new. He will change your life. So consider that. And as we sing, if you need to come talk to one of our pastors, I'll be standing down here. Even as the elements of the Lord's Supper are being passed out, just come on down. Talk to me. I'll be standing right here. Pastor Richard will be down here. Raise your hand, Pastor Richard. There he is right there. Come talk to us. Say, I need to talk about following Jesus. We'd love to talk to you. If you need prayer, just come. Even as we pass out the elements, come and we'll pray for you. If you miss us during the service, find us after the service. Find us any day of the week. Call us on a holiday. Call us tomorrow. We'll be glad to talk to you to tell you about how you can know Jesus. All of our contact information is in the bulletin that you've received when you came in. We want you to contact us. But listen, here's what I want you to know. Jesus died, and he rose from the dead so that you could be made new. Follower of Jesus, Jesus died and rose from the dead so that you could be made new. So don't live in the old way of life any longer. Don't serve yourself, serve others. Join me now in prayer as we prepare for the Lord's Supper.